Well, good morning. We're so thankful you are here for sure. So the last few Sundays, we've been talking about a plethora of different items, and I'm not explaining those to the fullest in the sense of giving you a solid direction and where we're going. And the reason is because I want you to pay attention. I think a lot of times when you just are you hear what it's about, then you go, I already know that, and you just kind of turn it off. If you don't know something and you're intrigued about it, then you're more like engaged. I want you to be engaged the entire time versus the idea of like, what's he talking about? And I already know that. Ah, geez. So I don't want to explain it till the end of the summer. So that you're just forced to come here every single Sunday or tune in to our YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff so that you can catch up on where we're at. Now, if you haven't been, that's fine. It's not as if it's completely layered and you know, weaved together, but it does have a cohesiveness that helps with the larger picture. So that's why I would encourage you, stick around, find out what we're preaching and understand, okay, this is what it's about and apply it. That's what it's all about. Now, the past few Sundays, it has been a little bit of correctiveness. It's been a little bit of I need to self-evaluate. There's some things I need to look at in the mirror and not walk away and forget. You know, it's what James tells us. So there's a lot of pieces that are going into these messages. And the reason is because I just want all of us in this room to understand that, you know what? We may not have it all together. Isn't that just nice? And just, I think we all need to maybe say it to yourself right now. You may not have it all together. And I'm here to tell you that's okay. I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is taking us from glory to glory to glory. And God's bringing us into a position, a posture of, man, you know what? God's got it, and I'm going to give it over to him. If I be a doer of his word, then guess what? Some good things are going to come from it, and God's showing me these things. And that's where we're coming from. I don't want anyone to get in this notion of like, oh, man, he's just firing me with hell, fire, and damnation, and I'm calling down sulfur, and I'm calling down, you know, all this. I'm not. I'm literally trying to get us to a posture and a position of recognizing, hey, I need to be a doer of his word, and that's what it's all about. So the very first Sunday, I talked about the obedience is your responsibility, outcome is his responsibility. The next week, I talked about purpose has hidden treasure. Purpose is not something that we're selling, but it's something we're solving. And if that's the case, then what we're solving is a problem. That is the hidden treasure. And I you know, every week I talk about this one a little bit more than I do the other ones because we as human beings run from problems. If you study the New Testament and what Paul was dealing with and all the apostles when Jesus left, well, they were dealing with problems. They were running into the fire. And that's something to behold for our own selves to say, hey, I need to be more willing to go into the fire. I need to be more willing to step into the moments of problems and say, all right, God, give me the creative power, the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom. And when we do that, you're going to see the glory of God arrive on the scene, and you're going to get to experience something that you've been praying for and you know, longing for to say, man, only God can have done this. And that's a beautiful position to find yourself in. The following time, or the next Sunday, I talked about your success in Christ is not measured by numbers, but by engagement. That's really important to hold on to because too often we try as Christians to be reminded of our sins. So we try to number up and tally up how many sins we've had or how much money we gave in the offering or how many times we showed up on a Sunday or who did this and how many times they hurt me. So we're talking about numbers too often, and that's what the world wants us to focus on when God's saying, hey, focus on me, a singularity, him, that's it. And that's really something we should be walking in often. Now, the next Sunday I talked about this is not the time to sit around and do nothing. We cannot sit on our hands. You know, we talked about Jacob seeing this beautiful stairwell and how he saw Jacob's ladder, you've heard that term before, the angels going up and down from heaven here to earth. And then Jesus reiterates that he's actually that stairwell. He's that ladder of where God has opened up the heavens and he is doing something here on this earth. So there's no time for us to sit on our hands and say, meh, I'll do what I want. That's not the case. Knowing that heaven is open and God's doing something here on this earth, we should be saying, just like the prophet Isaiah, here I am, send me. God, use me. I want to be used. The following Sunday, which was last Sunday, I said, I'm going somewhere. And so you should say that to yourself. I'm going somewhere. You're going somewhere. So if you're going somewhere, how we think and behave will determine your speed and direction. And we really need to have good thinking. My wife says it all the time, stop your stinking thinking. Stop it. Stop your stinking thinking. Sometimes you get in this rut and you just sit there constantly, just a catch-22, the same behavior. And it's time to change that thinking, to understand what God's doing. So I'm gonna go with that just a little bit. So before I give you today's statement, I want to read a scripture, and that's found in John chapter 1. It's in the first chapter of the book of John, in verses 12 and 13. It says, but to all who believed, I want you to underline that, highlight it, write it out, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become. So that's the other word, become, underline it, highlight it, become, believed, become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical rebirth, a physical birth, but resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So this morning, we're talking about believing and becoming. So my statement for today is compromise isn't possible when focusing on the truth. Let me say it again. Compromise isn't possible when focusing on the truth. Compromise isn't possible when focusing on the truth. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. He is calling out to everyone, follow me, and I will make you into fishers of men. You're going to become a fisher of men. Some of you are like, no, I'm not. Well, that's really sad. It's sad that you would say, nah, I don't really want to. I'm more worried about my 501k and if I can own a beach home and a cabin in the woods, and I want to retire when I'm 32 and become a YouTuber. Because that's what I hear with my children all the time now. I'm going to retire at like 32, Dad. I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah. Like, yeah, Dad, don't worry, I'm going to buy you a beach home. Mm-hmm, I'm waiting. But I hear this from not only my children, but also from adults as well, their focus, where their focus is. It's not a fisher of men, it's a what can I do, what can I have, what can I get? And that's really concerning because Jesus is saying, follow me and I will make you become, there's that word again, become. He is molding, shaping, sculpting, whatever words you want to use, into what he wants you to become. You need to be a willing vessel to receive this. So it's not compromising, okay? Because here's the deal. We tend to compromise our way of living, our way of life as a Christian. So not a stern correction. This is just a subtle correction for everyone in this room. You've got to stop compromising, and you're doing this because you don't know what the Word of God says. You don't know what the Word of God says about how you should be living life. You are actually opening up all sorts of cavities for the enemy to infiltrate what you're trying to do. So what happens is you are decaying. Do you like all that dentist conversation right there for everyone? You're opening up cavities for decay, and you need to be aware of this. So for me personally, I have to ask the question, what obstacles or what compromise is keeping me from believing and becoming? I ask that. You should be asking this. You should be asking, what obstacles or compromise are keeping me from becoming a fisher of men? Why and what is causing me to be a doer of his word? Why do I not want to read the Bible? Why do I not want to worship him during praise and worship time? Why do I not want to be in his presence? What is the hindrance from that? Sin. That's the easiest thing I can say, but there's a deficiency that's happening in our own lives. We need to be aware of what's happening. So I have 2 points this morning I want to talk about in believing and becoming. So if you break them down, believing obviously is the first point. It's your philosophy. It's your way of thinking. It's your way of thinking. We read in the very beginning, Adam and Eve began with a pure philosophy, completely pure. It wasn't stained. There wasn't anything distracting them. They literally were in perfection, and it was beautiful. There was no stinking thinking. It was just a pure understanding of there's God, and there's a relationship that has nothing. That it's nothing in between it. There's nothing causing decay or destruction. It's this. It's a pure philosophy. Well, being that they were completely dependent upon God, we know that there was a moment where Satan comes in and he says, "I'm gonna question the God's wisdom and goodness before them." I'm going to question it. That's how I'm going to infiltrate their minds. I'm going to question whether or not he's actually wise and whether he's good. So by questioning God's word, he then caused them to question God's goodness and his wisdom. I hear it all the time. How could God have done this? How could God allow this? How could God... You hear this in the book of Job. There were many questions. Why, God? Why this? God came down and corrected real quick. There was a bigger picture. Why? Why? Everyone always wants to know why. And then they take it upon themselves. This is what I would have done. This is how I would have done this or that. That's a very bold statement. That's not walking in humility in any way, shape, or form. That's a scary place to find yourself in. So Paul actually writes about this with Adam and Eve in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It says, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Paul warns us about how our minds could somehow lead us astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So we need to be on guard with our mind, what we're thinking, how we respond to circumstances. When we see things, we shouldn't be so bold or brash in a way of like, this is how it should be, or this is how it should be done. And it's more of like, all right, let's take a step back. God, show me how it should be, how it should be done. God, what is your perfect will in this? But behaving this way will give you an understanding that God actually says what he does and does what he says. So in James chapter 1, when he says, "Hey, guys, count it all joy when you come into tribulation." That's really hard to do. But he's encouraging us to do this because he's saying, hey, I will come in and I will fill the gap. I will take over. I will show you. He's encouraging you, hey, come find me. Come talk to me. Present those requests. Make them known to me. And when you do, relax. I've got you. I'm going to take care of it. Man, when you have that stance, it really changes your focus on God's truth and rather being willing to compromise. You're willing to compromise because you're saying, I don't believe what God says he'll do. You begin to compromise when you say, I don't think he's that smart. I know you're like, no, I wouldn't say it like that. No, but you're saying it in another way. Oh, I don't believe God's that good. Uh-huh. I'm waiting for lightning to strike type of deal. Like, be careful. Some of you, you're allowing what the world has placed in you to question how good God is and his wisdom in you and for you. So, the enemy is always trying to devalue the finished work of Jesus and his word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 20, Paul explains and warns us, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. What does this mean? Very simply, if you've ever watched a movie with a child, and it's a movie where there's an inappropriate moment take place or inappropriate phrase, and the phrase will be said, and you and your spouse look at each other, and your daughter or your son goes, what's that mean? And you're like, nothing. Right? And you just move on. That's being, that's in regard to evil, be infants. That you just don't, you're just sitting there. Not that you're unaware of the evil, but just kind of like, I don't understand. It's like, it's just nonsense. It's innocence. I don't know what those words mean. You know, it's okay if I don't. I'm all right with it. Now, he says, but in your thinking, be adults. Now, I believe that Paul is actually echoing what Jesus said in Matthew 10:16. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. In the same posture, our minds need to be mature. We need to understand what God is doing in his truth, his wisdom, his goodness. But in the things of the enemy, I'm not worried about it. But I know what God's doing. I'm focused on what he's doing. I'm focused and I know what I'm supposed to do. So whether you know it or not, the direction that your life is going has been influenced. You're like, no. Yes. There are so many algorithms now, right? Netflix tells us what to watch. YouTube tells us what we like. We have all of these things constantly inundating us in and every single day. How we should dress, what we should look like, how, when, where. All of these things are happening at a rate of speed that is beyond some of our own control. And it is fast. It is so fast. And I personally want to make sure that my personal philosophy or my dominant way of thinking is God's way of thinking. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, I want to think what the word of God and what God says about me. I want his heart to be reflected in my own. So if this is true, then it makes sense to be sure that you're viewing your life through the right filter, not these algorithms of the world. We've got to be so careful of this. Man, so careful. We're being inundated day in and day out. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We're constantly getting a warning. Constantly. But yet still, we just continue on in the philosophies of this world and the thinking of this world. Some of you, now listen, I love every one of you in this room. Some of you don't know me very well, and that's okay. And some of you, I love my father-in-law. Before he was my father-in-law, he was my pastor first, and I was dating his daughter. So that was weird, okay? Now, I remember in a sermon him saying, some of you in this room, you don't know me. Some of you will never see my bare feet. I thought that was so strange. Some of you will never see my bare feet. So that afternoon, I was over at the house, and he was walking around barefoot, and I looked at him, and I go, see your bare foot? And he's not a man you say that to. He just looked at me and goes, mm-hmm, and just kept walking. I thought it was hilarious. He did not. Some of you don't know me, and you'll never see my bare feet, all right? And my daughter's too young for you to date right now, okay? You will not see my bare feet for a long time. However, what I'm about to say, you can get real defensive against me and say, who is he? I am just a messenger of God relaying a message. Some of you, you're doing some really bad things. And I'm concerned. You need to repent. You need to find yourself before God before you do anything else in your life. You need to change. You've been treating people awful. You have sin in your life to a certain degree that you're about to be killed. You've allowed sin to overwhelm your life. You've been hiding things. This is a concern. You're compromising God's truth. You're compromising your future. You need to be aware of this. You need to be better. Better. I mean, I know it doesn't go very far when I say stop it. Be better. I know where that goes. It just kind of falls on deaf ears, but this is an evaluation of looking at yourself and going, Lord, I want to change. What obstacles, what compromise am I allowing in my life to keep me from knowing the truth of God, that I can have a pure philosophy that I really do see your wisdom and your goodness for my life? That why would I compromise and allow the world to come in and infiltrate? Why would I allow this? Paul's warning us, beware. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. You know, he's actually using this word, beware, more of a military way of setting the defenses. If you need to be setting guard. I'm not allowing this in my life. Sometimes you need to look at your spouse and say, hey, I don't like what you're watching. I don't like what you're saying. Hey, children, you need to be a little bit more stronger on your children. A little bit more stronger. Just grab them. That was bad English. I know it was bad English. We can make up words. That's what pastors do, all right? So back up. You can be a parent to your children. Parent in itself is more stronger. Right? Set the bar. Set the standard.
Yeah, set the standard. That's right.
And do not compromise. Presenting the way of life, God's way of life of living, and saying, this is it. And present to them the understanding that life and death, because that's what we're dealing with right now, life and death.
Yeah, that's right.
I want everyone that I come in contact with to have life. My message this morning is I am trying my hardest for you to actually say, I want to live and not die. I want to live. So when Paul's saying in Colossians, beware, he's saying, hey, militarily speaking, set up your defenses. Get ready. The spoil isn't rotten food. It's not rotten food. Spoil, he's talking about the treasure, the gold, the silver, the treasure. That's wisdom. That's God's goodness. Don't let the enemy come in and spoil taking those things from you. He's doing it by philosophy. He's doing it through vain deceit. The tradition of men. We should be aware of what's happening and saying, no, I won't stand for this. I don't want this in my life. You know, I'm going to read, I love reading full chapters. And some of you are like, I do too. And some of you are like, wow, that's a lot. But we're going to do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I think it's only important because why do I need to keep saying a bunch of words when I can just read God's word? So how about next Sunday, we just come in here and I'm just going to read chapter after chapter and never hear my voice or my opinion or my idea of what the scripture says. What if we just did that? Somebody would be like, peace, I'm out. Give me some funny humor, Josh, in between all of that so I can keep my attention. How about you read your words and you can endure it? That's hard, but that's the truth. So let's just all swallow our ADHD moments right now and focus on God's word. Again, we're reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 17. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching and my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, whatever. It's not around anymore. Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone, 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 everyone. We're running from this. You want comfort? Everyone. Everyone. And that's a question. Am I being persecuted? Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go on or go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God explains to us, how do we achieve theology that is focused on his goodness and wisdom is by knowing what his word says and being doers of his word. Many of you are hearing this message today, and you know what the scriptures say. I know you know. You've read that God wants you to prosper in good health, that your souls should prosper. You know that by his stripes we are healed. You know that we're going to have life, and he's come to give us life and life in abundance. We know these scriptures. Yet somehow when you look at yourself in the mirror, You're believing the world when you say, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm sick, I'm defeated. I got things wrong with me. No one wants to be with me. I'll be single forever. You say these things, but that's not what the word says about you. Even though you look at the scriptures and you know it, what'd we read? Let's go right back up here. Verse 5, 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You have a form of godliness, but you're denying its power. What power am I talking about? The power of change in your life from stinking to good thinking. It's that power of knowing, all right, I'm going to change this. You have a form of godliness, but you need to be aware of it. Because see, at the core of your philosophy, and maybe it's because parents in your past, maybe it's because of some incident, a friend, a bad moment took place, and now you have a way of thinking. And that way of thinking has actually caused you to stray off the course. But it's time for you to be aware of it and say, you know what? That past doesn't dictate my future any longer. You're putting a stop to it, and you're saying, all right, I'm going to change the course. I'm going to change the course. You have to make a outward awareness, a conscious decision to say, I'm no longer going to be this way. I'm no longer going to live this way. I'm going to be a doer of his word. I was born this way, but I have a new birth in Christ Jesus, and I want to do what he's called me to do. Sometimes it might be that you go, ah, man, I'm an idiot. And you go, no, I'm not. I am a son of God. You're going to learn over time. God, why am I so stupid? Ah, no, I am a son of God. I am smart. I know what God's word says about me. You do what the world tells you to do, and you're going to find yourself in a very bad place. You got to begin to change. Study, meditate. You got to change those basic core beliefs that you have. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It says, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is it. You go to this and you go, Lord, correct me. Lord, as I study today, I pray that I come upon scripture that will increase my well-being. Lord, I pray that as I come across scripture today, Lord, you show me where I need to be. Lord, what I need to correct. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, as I go out of my house today, I am a reflection of your word in my own life. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that I encounter your presence. Lord, that when I am about to do something silly, Lord, you correct me. Lord, stop me in my tracks. Lord, if there's a donkey, I'm riding a donkey, tell it to talk to me. Only a few of you laugh because only a few of you know the word of God. The rest of you, find that story and read it. It's pretty crazy when you allow a jackass to tell you, the jackass, what to do. Some of you are like, you just cussed twice. No, I didn't. I quoted the scriptures and the word of God. Some of you are all focused on the wrong thing. You might be limiting God by your wrong and small thinking. That was number one. Number two, apathy. My last point, apathy. Do you guys know that the opposite of faith is not heresy? It's actually indifference. Let me explain that. When it comes to believing, we talked about that in number one. Now we're talking about becoming. Becoming is an action. It's a growth moment. So The opposite of faith is not heresy. It's not the idea of one person saying, I believe in God, and the other person saying, I don't believe in God. No, that's not the opposite of faith. The opposite of faith is indifference. Now, it literally pointing to James chapter 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith is that representation of a deep conviction, right? It's the allegiance to a set of beliefs or principles. Heresy, as I just broke it down briefly, is that it refers to that opinion, a contrary opinion that's established in religious doctrines, okay? Now, the indifference refers to a lack of interest or concern or attention towards something. So the opposite of faith is a lack of interest, concern, or attention towards something. When Jesus said, oh, the grain of a mustard seed, if you just would have your fix, your gaze fixed on the things of God, your mustard seed would grow. You would understand, oh, man, I want to have faith. I want to do what God's doing, and that in itself is faith. You are not being indifferent by just sitting on your hands. You're not being indifferent in the way of just saying, nah, apathy, I don't really care. God's saying, if you just would have a mustard seed of care, if you could just see what I'm doing, if you could just see how heaven is open and I'm doing something here on this earth, if you would just stop caring about your own needs, Matthew 6, if you would just stop focusing on all the cares of this world, indifference poses such a greater challenge to faith because it reflects that lack of investment. It's saying, I don't really care about this. I only care about this in times of trouble. When everything's falling apart, oh, I want to date her. She loves Jesus. I love Jesus too. When it fits your needs, then you're like all about it. And that's not what it's about. That commitment and that involvement. God's asking us to come out. Apathy can come by, it's not my way of doing it. Apathy comes by in a way of like, let me just call it meism. Meism, what I want. I hear it in marriage counseling sometimes. I'll hear it. She's not meeting my needs. He is a loser. He doesn't do these things for me. And I think, oh man, everything's so wrong and backwards. And there's so much we have to step out of in order to step into what God's got for us. Step out of this nasty, miry clay and that you're stuck and allow God to bring you out, clean you off, and start afresh and knowing that the me-ism got to go. This idea of, well, she could have and should have and he could have and should have versus serving one another with a passion and a love that only comes from God. It's a reflection of your time with him. I hear it in church. Church, they don't play the music I like. I didn't know that we were playing this music for you. I am so sorry. I didn't know, as a pastor of a church, that I was playing music for you. Are there strings attached that you have on Stephen, our worship pastor? Oh, the music's too loud. What if I told you I don't think it's loud enough? What if I told you there's a reason to some of these things? We need $17,000. Please, some of you, please donate $17,000. We need $17,000 worth of more sound baffles because we are in a warehouse. We're making something into something it wasn't meant for. We're breaking a Gresham rule. In my house, that's a Gresham rule, and we're breaking it. We're making something into something it wasn't intended for. But we did it. And we need $17,000 more worth of sound baffles to be placed all around here so that it would be a nicer sound, a more pleasant tree. But guess what? Again, I don't think it's about you. It's weird. We had someone come in not too long ago, and they said, hey, it's too loud. They told an usher that, and the usher goes, oh, you can go to the sound booth and talk to one of the sound technicians, and they will explain to you, you know, what's happening and what's going on. So that person did. They went up to Brian and whoever else was up there, and they said, hey, this is what you should do. And Brian and them goes, well, that's nice, but that's just not the case. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was very kind. Following Sunday, they came back and they said, it's still too loud. I must have talked to the wrong person. That's what they said. Hey, Brian, what do you do for a living? Not sound. What do you do for a living? IT company. Jonathan, our keyboard player, he also runs sound. He doesn't run sound for a living. He has no idea what he's doing. Stephen, our worship pastor, he can sing. He runs sound when there's no one else to run sound. He doesn't know how to run sound either. He just knows what somewhat sounds good. Right? Like, we're just twisting knobs, people. People coming up in here all the time, you need to change this, you need to change that. And you're like, you have no idea what's going on. I believe, and I do this very cautiously, it's the same thing of Job. God, you need to do this, you need to do that. And God's going, you don't know what's going on. There's all sorts of crazy things. He starts describing these big monsters and animals, and he's like, they're scary. But they're beautiful. There's something about it. God's explaining this to Job best he can, but he's like, your brain's this big. I'm not belittling you and saying it's loud. I know it can be loud in here, but again, it's a warehouse. It's interesting. It's such a Goldilocks complex. It's meism. Not too cold, too hot, not funny enough, too much word, not enough word. I didn't know that we were coming in here to entertain you. I didn't realize that. That would change everything, wouldn't it? I mean, let's start. Do we have our, did you practice your number? I gave you a whole set of how you and I should act from here on out. You got it? It's a two-step, and we've got this, Stephen. It's interesting, because I really believe if you would understand faith and the action it requires, you would be less worried about how loud worship is and more focused on how wonderful God is in your life. I believe if you become less concerned about performance, you become more concerned with his presence. When you come in here to worship, you would read the words and understand because of how you operated in faith this prior week, you would know what the words say on the screen, and you would be like, that's my victory song right now. Those are my victory words. Yeah. I'm in a battle right now because I'm being persecuted because everyone's being persecuted. Yeah. So when I come in to listen to God's word and I come in to hear the worship, I'm here to praise and participate in that. I'm not worried about the decimals. I'll give that to Brian. God's instructing him. He said, I'm here, send me. He's a willing vessel to say, I'm trying. Miguel's operating the camera running around here. You know what Miguel does for a living? He cuts hair. You know what David does on the drums? He flies an airplane. You know Anna, who sings here? You know what she does? She's a teacher. I mean, God uses imperfect people, and he's just looking for willing and obedient. You know what Mark and Linda, they're retired, so they're in gardening right now. But this church wouldn't be here without Mark and Linda. They were a key ingredient to the building of this building. And you know why? They're just willing. You know what they did back in the day? They were graphic designers. They were designers. He worked for Oscar Mayer Wieners and Atari. It's pretty cool. Has nothing to do with church. I mean, outside when we do hot dog sales for youth, right? But he gets no profit from that. You get what I'm getting at? Becoming isn't what you did here on this earth. Becoming is what you're doing for the kingdom of God, and God giving you the abilities, the talents, the faith. Your faith is coming into this beautiful picture of willingness. Willingness. I'm willing. Romans 1:1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. Do you see how he ordered all of this in perfection? Paul writes it out. This letter is from Paul. He's establishing this is who it's from, a slave of Christ Jesus. That's it. That's one. Whatever it is. Apostle is what I do. Apostle is what I do. I'm sent out to preach his good news. A slave to Christ, a worship leader, singing songs, leading people to the feet of Jesus. You know what Stephen did before worshiping, being a worship master? All kinds of jobs. He was a mechanic, insurance agent, like an insurance adjuster. He was a sales guy at a crane company. He does pressure washing because he sacrificed to say, I want to be a worship pastor at a church, so I'll pick up pressure washing when I can to make ends meet because I'm willing to take a lesser pay. This is just faith and saying, God, you know what? I'm willing to allow you to meet the need. God, I'm willing to just say I'm obedient. God, you're putting into motion your beauty in my life, and I want that. I want what you have for me. My last scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. When you operate from faith, in faith, commitment, conviction, you will see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You become this big, he becomes that big. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that as you've prepared in each one of us, Lord, you have opened up our perspective of your goodness. So God, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you that in John chapter 13, when you washed the feet of the disciples, when you were done, you didn't say, now wash mine. You said you ought to wash each other's. What a beautiful example for us to follow. That, Lord, we're not doing it from self-gain or self-promotion, but God, that we're doing it from a posture and a position of an example that you gave us, and you get the glory. So God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you, Lord, that we will begin to exude this from our own lives every single day. Lord, the intention is not for me, but Lord, for you to get the glory, and I thank you for this. God, I thank you. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. We thank you that this week will be a week that we change our thinking. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.